went fishing. And first you'll find in the fifth chapter of Luke, the second occasion we'll find in the 17th chapter of Matthew, and the third occasion we'll find in the 21st chapter of John's Gospel. And I purpose taking up these occasions in the order in which I've mentioned them. So we'll turn first to the fifth chapter of Luke's Gospel. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great boat to the fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. So they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes, which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now this was not the first time that Peter had met the Lord. In the first chapter of John, we find that two of John's disciples had left him and followed Jesus. When John, looking at Jesus as he walked, said, Behold the Lamb of God. And we find that they spent 2 hours with Jesus, and then Andrew started out as a soul winner. And he answered first to his brother Simon, and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is called Christ. And then he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw Simon, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is thy interpretation of stone. So that was the first meeting of Simon Peter with the blessed Lord. And on that occasion, he got a new name. Now we know that only one in a place of authority has the right to change the name of another. And we know that John has the right to do that, for he changed the name of Abram to Abraham, and Sarah from Sarai to Sarah, and Jacob as in the name of Israel. Well, when the Lord gave Peter his new name, it was just as much as saying, Peter, I have a right, or Simon, I have a right to give you a new name, for you belong to me. But you see, there was the need of a deeper work in his soul than what took place at that first meeting. And that's what we have brought before us here in this fifth chapter of Luke. You see, these disciples had been down to the river Jordan where John was preaching the baptism of repentance. And there was a mighty work down there, and they had been connected with it. And now they had returned to their occupation, which was fishing, and Jesus had returned from Jordan, had been he had spent the 40 days tempted of the devil. He'd been to Nazareth, and now he'd gone to the Lake of Galilee. And one morning after the fishermen had pulled in their boats to shore, the Lord found a company of people there that wanted to hear the word of God. That was wonderful, wasn't it? And they pressed upon him so that he asked one there to lower out from the shore, and he sat down in the boat and talked to the people. And the Lord had a reason for selecting Simon's boat, because he had a special blessing in view for Simon. And you know, the Lord never uses anything we commit to his service, the Lord he will assure us your voice. And the Lord didn't spend all the day sitting in the boats and teaching the people, for he was just as much interested in their temporal needs as in their soul's needs. So now he says to Simon, launch out into the deep. That is, take your oar, pull your boat out into the deep water, and let down your net for a big haul of fish, or a draft of fish. Well, Peter sadly says, Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. The Lord said, let down your net, but he just let down his net. He had enough faith to let down one net, but no more. And the result was, you see, the net was broken. Because when we're not willing to fully obey His word, there's always loss as a result. Well, they enclosed, as we read, a great multitude of fishes. And the net broke, and they filled the ship so it began to sink. And then they beckoned to their partners to come and help them. And their partners were James and John. And they came over and they filled both the boats. Well, they were so astonished that we find that Peter just fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. You see, Peter never realized the full glory of the Lord Jesus until this occasion. Because Peter was an old fisherman, and any fisherman knows that if they can't catch fish at night, it's useless to try to catch them in the day. I fished enough myself to know that. But when he saw all those fish, the very wealth of the Lake of Galilee, come into his net, he knew that man in his boat was more than man, for he knew that only God could bring the fish to go right into his net. I believe it was on that occasion that Peter learned what he afterwards confessed so boldly in the 15th of Matthew, when the Lord asked the question, who say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, yes, Peter knew that that lower man was more than man, that he was God manifest in the flesh. From what effect finding that he had the Son of God in his boat, produced in his heart, well, it brought repentance. You see, we read nothing about repentance in the first meeting of Peter with the Lord at the River Jordan. And sometimes I believe it operates that in the experience of sinners, that it may be later than after a confession of Christ that one discovered truly was wretched, lost sinners they actually are. And so Peter just falls down at Jesus' knees and he says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, Lord." Wasn't that rather strange that he would be telling the Lord to depart from him, and yet at the same time he was getting just as near as he possibly could to that blessed woman. And the love of that is always the way that the grace of God operates in the heart of a sinner. He feels his own worthiness, he feels his lost condition, but at the same time he feels he cannot do without the blessed Lord. And when anyone is in that state of soul, and he feels that he's nothing but a worthless, lost, and guilty sinner, and yet he must have the Christ of God as his Savior, he will always have these words to hear. And just the words that Jesus spoke to Simon, he says, "Fear not, Simon, fear not." So everyone that has taken his or her place as a lost and guilty sinner before God has also had that which filled their heart with holy joy and peace, and that is to know that the one who has suffered for us on the cross for our sins has said, "Fear not." And, beloved friends, if the blessed Son of God, the Savior of sinners, tells us to fear not, what have we to fear? Nothing at all. We don't need to fear death. There's no fear of hell. He has vanquished that. No dread of the coming judgment. That's all past. For he bore the judgment of our sins on the cross. And even for the circumstances of life, we know that they're all placed in the hands of the one who is watching over us. How wonderful for our souls to go on our way with those words in our ears, "Fear not." And then the Lord commissions Peter for his service. For he says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." That is, the Lord had a more important work for Peter than spending his time with a net catching fish out of the lake. He was going to catch men. And we know he caught lots of men in his later years. And after the Lord went to the cross and had risen again and then gone back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit came down, Peter preached the sermon there in Jerusalem, and as it were, he spread his net well out in Jerusalem, and he enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Those were men that he caught, as we understand, but he caught 3,000 fish that one day that he put out his net. And oh, how many more that were caught in Peter's net as he went on in the service of the Lord. Just read the book of Acts. Read about his sermon in the house of Cornelius, where the house was crowded with those that Cornelius had brought together to hear the message of the fishermen. And as Peter preached, it tells us that all they heard the word. And the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And the whole company got saved. That was a wonderful haul of fish too, wasn't it? Well, here's a remarkable thing to read about. That the very day that Peter and his brother Andrew and also James and John had the best haul of fish they had ever had in all their lives, that they turned around and forsook the whole thing and followed Jesus. For what the Lord said was, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That's what he said, what we have recorded in Matthew's Gospel and in Mark's Gospel. If we just read Mark's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel, you wouldn't have this account at all. But that came in between the time that the Lord said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So it's nice to have the four gospels, isn't it, and to get all these different ways. The Spirit of God has brought the life of the blessed Lord Jesus before us. We'd think just to read Matthew and Mark that the Lord just suddenly walked out to the sea and found men he never saw or heard of before and told them to follow him. But no, they've been these events leading up to the call that they should go out in his service. And how important it is to call attention to the fact that what prepared them, what fitted them, what enabled them to go on in that great service that he gave them was not a schooling. He didn't tell them to go to a college or a theological seminary or to a Bible school. All the instruction he gave was follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. How lovely it is, beloved, that though we are not apostles, we're all privileged through grace to follow the same blessed Savior that they were called from to follow at that time. Well, that was the beginning of the service of these apostles. And you know, two of them have given us much of the Word of God, Peter's epistle and John's wonderful gospel, his three epistles and the book of Revelation, were all the outcome of the Lord's meeting those fishermen on the shore of Galilee. Well, now the second time that Peter went fishing, you will find in the book of Matthew and the 17th chapter. And the 24th verse. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of tribute? Of their own children, or strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, Peter wasn't a hook and line fisherman. He fished with a net. Oh, the Lord was giving Peter a way of fishing that he wasn't too familiar with, wasn't in his line, in other words, to be a hook and line fisherman. And that's very interesting, too. And this is a very instructive account here we have in the life of the Lord. And it begins with when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter. And they said, doth not your master pay tribute? And Peter, without any hesitation, he said, yes. You see, Peter wanted his Lord and Master to be considered a very loyal Jewish citizen. And he didn't wait to get the Lord's mind about it. But in his impulsive way, all he said was, yeah, sure, I'm after paying tribute money. And then Peter was in quite a disturbed state of mind about it. For one thing, they didn't have the money to pay. And what was he going to do about it? Well, isn't there a lesson for you and me, beloved saints of God? Do not be in haste to give answers when something uncertain comes before. It would be a great wisdom if something uncertain suddenly presents itself to us, instead of hastily expressing our minds, we just waited and searched the Word, got on our knees and asked the Lord's mind and will about it. We'd be spared from some bad mistake that is so easy to make in this life. As I speak along this line, I realize that I'm just like Peter, because I'm very quick to express my mind without really weighing things in the Lord's presence. And I know I've made a lot of mistakes that I regretted and got me into various problems. So I say it for myself as much as anybody here, how important it is just to wait on the Lord and not just give a hasty answer without really seeking the Lord's mind. Now, this money was this tribute money, the margin tells us, was drachmas. And I understand that this, suppose I'm pronouncing it right, was a piece of money that was exactly the amount for the payment of for two into the treasury of the temple. And that was what the fish had in his mouth when he ate 150. Well, when Peter came into the house, was coming into the house, Jesus prevented him. That is, he stopped Peter. And he says, what biggest thou son? What are you thinking about? The Lord's concerned about what we're thinking about, beloved. But sometimes we're thinking about things that are not wholesome, will not help our souls. So, there is a special promise in Malachi 3 for those who thought upon his name. Just remember that. We may not be able to do very much for the Lord, but we can all think about the Lord. And there's sure to be a rich reward for those that exercise enough in quiet time to just get their minds engaged with the life and the ways and the work of the blessed Lord. So he says, what thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. You see, the disciples found with the Lord were the true children of the coming kingdom that Christ was going to set up here on earth with all its glory and blessing. Well, if they were the true children of the kingdom, why, they were afraid of what the Jews were demanding, this tribute, money to be paid into the temple treasury. But I think it's very beautiful here, what the Lord says. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend him, and he tells how to get the required money. Now, isn't that lovely? Let the attendant. You see, the money that was being given to the temple service, God had not yet set the temple aside. You remember even that poor widow that cast in her two mites into the treasury. The Lord said that she had given more than all the rest. But when the Lord went out of the temple the last time, that temple was no longer recognized. For the Lord said, "Behold, now your house is left to you, debtor." But until God set it aside, it was the place of worship for His earthly people. So the Lord says, "Lest we offend them." Well, how faithful and how perfect is the Lord's ways. In the 15th chapter, when the hypocrisy of the Pharisees was exposed, how they were making clean the outside of the cup and the platter, whereas within was full of all uncleanness. And the Lord tells them just exactly what was in their heart. And so He says, "Ye hypocrites," the 7th verse of the 15th of Matthew. "Well did the Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrine and commandments of men.'" And then we find that in the 12th verse, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, 'Knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this thing?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted hath he rooted up.'" Now, in one occasion, the Lord wouldn't offend the Jews. And another time, He definitely said words that did offend them, and He wouldn't take them back. And even the disciples were corrected because they said that you offended these people. So we see the wisdom of the Lord when it was a matter of hypocrisy and teaching what was wrong. The Lord didn't spare in any way. But when it was a matter like the giving the tribute into the temple, which had not been disowned yet, while the Lord and His disciples were not required of God to pay into that system, yet the Lord says, "Lest ye offend them." I said, "Peter, go and cast the hook into the sea, and the first fish that cometh up, take up the fish that cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money." That's the staker. Peter was just twice the amount of the drachma. I have to look that again, drachma, that was required of every Jew to pay into the temple treasury. So it was just exactly the amount, no more nor no less, to satisfy the Jews and to relieve the leader of the awkward situation that he had placed himself in by speaking unadvisedly at this time. I heard someone not too long ago quote this, that take and give unto them for thee and me. Is that right? I heard a brother just a short time ago quote that way. And so the Lord says, "That take and give unto them for who? For me and thee." Now that's important, because in all things be that blessed one that has a preeminence. We, in our thinking, would have reversed it. But not so when the Lord is speaking. He always would remind his own that he must have the first place. Me and thee. Oh, beloved, what wonderful grace it was for the Lord to identify himself with Simon Peter in connection with affairs down here. And may we each one take that word to our heart. For me and for thee. Oh, how lovely in the affairs of life to find that we're not just going on as independent units through this world, that we have that blessed man of glory identifying himself with us in all the affairs that we have to do with. So it's for me and thee. Another thing we learn in connection with Peter going fishing on this occasion, how perfect again are the Lord's ways. Now in the 16th chapter and the 21st verse of that chapter, we read, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." What a withering rebuke that was to Peter, calling him Satan, and telling Peter, you're an offense unto me. Well, it shows that when there was something that infringed on the glory of Christ, it couldn't be rebuked too sharply, because Peter was under the influence of Satan to seek to keep the Lord from going to the cross. That is, Peter didn't want to see his Lord and Master insulted and dishonored by those that would scourge and crucify him. So he says, be it far from me, Lord. He's trying to keep the Lord from going to the cross. Well, whenever we say or do anything that touches the glory and the work and the worth of that blessed one, it cannot be rebuked too sharply. But there are many things, you know, just as in the case of giving this tribute money, where there is no divine principle violated, where we should be careful, not unnecessarily, to give offense unto any saint or sinner. We need to be careful. For sometimes I know that I have in my life, I've given offense to people just because I lost my patience with people that were wrong, but still, it was my business to accept it in a humble way. Someone said to me, instead of getting caught and discussed over it, oh, all times, you know, we can slam the door shut in the face of those that we might otherwise have helped. I know one time a man nearly ran over me with a car. Just had an old lantern on the car that was years ago when we were driving the Model T, and I gave that fellow quite a trimming down for it. But he never came to meet him again. I lost my patience. Got in a temper with it. And all I did was do something like Peter did when he cut the ear off so of the man when he used the saw. Sometimes he cut the ears off the people, you know, by our lack of discernment and faithfulness. Well, this was the second time that Peter went fishing. And this time and fell in a habit of went fishing for the hook and line. And it was quite interesting that a fish could have brought the coin out of the sea. Now that was a miracle, because as you all know, that a fish has a soft mouth, and everything that goes into a fish's mouth goes right down into the inside of it. He never holds anything in his mouth. Did you ever catch a fish and find anything in his mouth? You never did. But this was one occasion when there was something in the mouth of the fish. And the Lord was behind that. For you know, he is the Son of Man who has, to whom has been committed. Everything on earth and everything in the sea is under his control and command. So he could just make that fish pick up a coin to bring it to Peter and pay this little debt the Jews considered they owed. Well, now when the Lord came in and said to Simon, "What thinkest thou?" You see, the Lord was showing there that he knew everything. He knew what Peter was thinking about. And then when he calls the fish to bring the piece of money, the Lord can do everything. So the Lord knows everything, and the Lord can do everything or anything. Well, now we want to just touch on the third time Peter went fishing. And that's in the Gospel of John in the 21st chapter. The last chapter in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 21 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, "I go fishing." They said unto him, "Ye go with me." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto them, "Simon Peter, it is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net to fishers. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus said unto them, "Bring out the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Well, we have already read about the time when the Lord said to Peter, "Follow me and I will make thee fishers of men." Well, we know that Peter and Andrew and John and the other disciples, the apostles, followed the Lord right up to the cross. And when they came and took Jesus and bound him, they all forsook him. And at last Peter denied him in the palace of the high priest. And so the Lord was deserted of his disciples, and there he hung on the shameful cross, died for the very sin, and suffered for the very sin of Peter's denial as he hung there in those hours of darkness. But it was a solemn time, because seemingly the work of the apostles was over. And you know, all those days that followed that Sabbath, which was a high day among the Jews, the disciples spent weeping and mourning. All their hearts were broken. They were saddened to think that they had forsaken their Lord and Master. But the morning of the first day of the week, there must have been a rap at the door that morning. And who was there? Mary Magdalene. They knew her well, because she followed them from Galilee and ministered along with other women to their needs. And she had run on a night full. She was all out of breath when she arrived in Jerusalem to the house where the disciples were staying. And she gave this message, I'm sure in tears. She said, they have taken away the Lord, and we know not where they live. And then Peter and John ran all the way to the tomb of Jesus. And Peter was the first to go in, and then John. John saw the way the souls were laid, but the Lord was not carried away by robbers. He left those graves without disturbing them in any way, and laid the napkin that was about his head to one side. But they went back to their own home. And after a while, there was a knock at the door again. There's Mary Magdalene, come back. And oh, how happy she looks now. Oh, she has a lovely message to give. She says, well, I saw the Lord, and here's a message he sent. Go tell my brethren, I send unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And then that very evening, the disciples were together, the door shut. Suddenly the Lord stood in there, held out his pierced hand, showed him his pierced side, and said, peace be unto you. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And just a week later, again they were within, and Thomas this time, who was not present the first time, was also there. And again the Lord showed his hands and his side, and said, peace be unto you. Well, that was the second time. And now this third time, we find these wandering disciples had gone to Galilee. And here were the seven disciples together. Well, what were they going to do? Well, the Lord was no longer among them to direct them as, you know, the time passed, sending them to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and so on. Here they were just sort of left without any occupation. And we find that Peter, who was always the leader, you know, Peter was a born leader. It's a rather solemn thing when anyone is a natural born leader. Peter was that. And when Peter was in a good state of soul, he led the disciples the right way. But when he got into a bad state of soul, he led the others in the wrong direction. So he just took a leader, and Peter was there, the leader. He said, I go with you. And they say, we go with him. So they get right into the ship, maybe the same one the Lord sat in, and they went out fishing. And fished all night and caught nothing. And in the morning, you can just imagine how discouraged those disciples were. And they see a man on the shore, but they didn't recognize him. And he tells them to put the net on the right side of the ship. So they do. And then they enclosed a great multitude of fish. They did just what the Lord told them to do, and the net didn't break. And then John, one who ever was nearest to the blessed Lord, says to Peter, praise the Lord. And you know, dear Peter, he loved the Lord, although he failed so sadly. He just can't wait to get to the Lord soon enough, and he jumps right in the sea and makes it as fast as he can to that blessed one. Now, I believe, beloved, here is all-important lesson for our souls, and that is to get to the Lord as quickly as possible when we have failed, when we have dishonored the Lord in any way. You see, the lesson Peter learned on the first occasion when he went fishing with his net was that he was a poor, needy, lost sinner. And only the Christ of God could meet his need, and he falls at his feet. But beloved, after you and I have gone through that whole experience and have found out that Christ is our Savior, that he has atoned for our sins on the cross, even after having learned his wondrous grace, how many times we have failed in our Christian life and testimony. And what is the remedy then, even though we're his and have accepted him as a Savior, is to get back to the same one who saved us so long ago, as soon and as quickly as we possibly can. I hear Brother Eric Smith often makes this remark, keep short account with God. Don't let things go by. Don't let failures go on unjust and unconfessed. The sooner we get into the presence of the blessed Lord and judge ourselves and get right in our souls, so much the better for us. So what a lovely natural scene this is. Just think of the risen Christ of God building a fire there on the shore of Galilee. I suppose he gathered sticks likely and built a fire there. And he didn't have to go fishing. He could bring the fish right out of the sea so that he had fish. And he could create bread too. And there was a meal waiting for those cold, hungry disciples when they came to shore. And then the Lord didn't despise their efforts, for he says, bring us a fish which ye have now caught. Oh, the Lord can do anything, but he wants you and me to fill our little service for him in this scene. And let's not neglect our little service, because sometimes we say, well, the Lord can do anything, but that doesn't relieve us of our responsibility to be used of him in whatever little way we can accomplish some work that would be for his glory. And what a wonderful meal they had together. And the Lord was the one that waited on them. He was always the servant, you know. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then again he says, but I am among you as one of the servants. And beloved friends, he will spare us for all eternity when the journey here below is over. For we find that in the heavenly scene that he will come forth and gird himself and make them to sit down to me and will serve them. Well, we know that on this occasion, the Lord so truly restored Peter in his soul that he could commission him with the care of the lambs and the sheep of his flock. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And that was important, that Peter should be restored in the presence of his brethren. For they might have said, well, Peter can be one of the disciples, but he can never be one of the apostles. He has forfeited all his rights in service. But after they had actually heard the Lord say in their presence, Peter, feed my lambs, feet must be. Crucial question. Here is life. And how beautifully John and Peter went on in service together. And after that beautiful scene there on the shore of Galilee, the closing scene that we have is the Lord saying to Peter, after he had told him that he was going and he would honor him in the very way he had dishonored him, and losing his courage and denying him in the presence of the enemies of Christ, that he would someday stretch forth his hand and be led to the same death that his master had endured before him. And having told Peter what was before him, he said, "Follow me." Well, beloved, that's the height of everything. And what the supreme desire of our heart, to follow Christ. And you'll never disappoint it. Oh, the need, beloved, among us of more devotion to the blessed Lord. Having doctrine and being well taught in the Scriptures is not enough, and it will never keep us. The truth of God's Word will not keep us from turning aside. But I can tell you this, that a heart truly devoted to Christ will be the means of our protection and of our preservation. It is in 166. Lord, thou hast drawn us after thee. Now let us run and never tire. Thy presence shall our comfort be. Thyself our hope, our soul desire. Our present Savior, while not here, nor engine come, if thou want me.